So I sent an email with the information for applying to the Sanger Learning Center. If you are interested in tutoring, that would be a good experience. Here's John Chatless.
There you go.
And he'll be talking to us about recognizing maximum of students.
Hey guys, that's so weird. My I had an indoor soccer coach whose name was John Chapman, and that is so weird. Yeah, sorry. Okay, yeah, so thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here. I guess I'll start by explicitly saying that I would very much welcome questions or interjections, comments, anything like that. I'm quite happy to make this turn into more of a discussion and less of me just sort of talking at you. I don't really like talking at you. I don't think people really like being talked at. So yeah, with that being said, I want to play a game, and so I'll need a volunteer. Yes, in the back. Come on up. Oh, man, this is a good entrance. What's your name?
Nick.
I'm John.
John, nice to meet you.
This is Nick, everyone. So, Nick, here's the game. I have four different numbers written on the backs of these four sheets of paper. See, there are four. Okay? And I'm going to put them right here. And your goal, no peeking yet, your goal is to select the biggest number. Think you're up to the challenge?
Sure.
Yeah? Okay. Now, here's the catch. And there is a, yeah, I know. Yeah. There's a catch. The catch is I'm going to reveal them to you one at a time. One at a time. And you can either take that or throw it away, just cast it away forever. It's gone. You can never have that number back.
And I don't get to know what the numbers are.
And you don't get to know what the numbers are. And you don't get to know what the distribution of the numbers is. I'm not even telling you whether they're, well, okay, I'll tell you what. They're positive, okay? But they're not, I mean, they don't have to be integers, so that really doesn't tell you anything, right? They could be, like, really tiny, so. Okay. So is the game clear? I'm gonna reveal these to you. Okay, so here we go. Ready, guys? Really starting off with a bang here. All right, here we go. Ready? Your first number is 71.
Woo!
It's a pretty big number. I agree. Yeah. Whoa. 71. You want it? You're gonna go. He's going for it. Okay, the man. Okay, Nick here. Wow. Here we go. Confident. Okay. Let's see what the other numbers are. Yeah.
There's a lot of smaller numbers in this.
There are so many. I know. They're like, I mean, like uncountably many. There are just so many. Okay. Other numbers. We have 95. Ooh. Tough break. Let's see what else is going on here. 102. Man, these are huge. Okay. And 67. So you beat the 67. Okay. Well. Nice try. Let's try it again. Let's try it one more time. Okay. It was. So now you see sort of the project here, and it's all or nothing. Is that clear? It's all or nothing. You either got the highest number, or you didn't. And if you got it, you won. And if you didn't, yeah. Sorry. Maybe we can. Well, let's play again and let's see. Okay. So another chance. This is going on the internet, so don't.
I won't mess up.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to mix them up for you. Okay. Okay, your first number? 6.
I don't like it.
He's a quick learner. Okay. Okay, so we're leaving it alone. You can never have 6 again. Okay, ready? 13. Oh, man, this is high pressure. No?
No.
No? Throws away 13. Okay. 7?
Well, I've already lost if I choose 7.
That's true. There's no point in choosing 7, right? Because 13 already came up. So it all comes down to this. Oh, my gosh. Okay. 11. Oh!
13.
Ugh, so close, man. One more?
0 for 2.
Okay, but I think you've got this one. I think you're just warming up. You're warming up is what it is. On this one, how about you? We're going to get the Yeah. Well, let's get the audience involved, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah? How about this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so flip over one and oh, man. Okay, so
42.
42. 42. What do you think?
Like, I feel like everybody in this room likes
how, how many people say yes to 40?
Hiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Right, right, yeah. So yes to 42?
42.
We got a couple of...
How many don't want 42?
Oof.
That's more than you want 42.
Well, so what are you going to do?
I don't know.
Oh! This is so tough.
I kind of want 42. I'm sorry.
I can't.
There's more than a fourth of the room that wants 42.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Represent the truth, not your constituents.
The meaning of life and everything.
So is he going
to... I'm gonna again choose the first number.
He's going for it.
Oh.
Okay. Let's see what we've got.
47.
Oh!
And then there is... 25 and 21.
Oh, we were close.
Not too far.
Man. Well, Nick, thank you very much for coming up and playing this game. How about a hand for Nick? Very nice. Very nice. So, I think we can all agree this is a tough game, right? It'd be easier if we could just flip them over ahead of time and look, right? I think most of us could handle that one. But if you just get them one at a time, it's kind of tricky to choose the biggest number. Right? It's a little tricky. Okay, so let me describe for you now what we might have been doing here. Because this is the first step, the first thing that we're going to do today is decide just what the heck we're talking about. This is a good place for a talk to begin, is to figure out what you're talking about. You don't want to talk for a while and then say, wait, what was that? So we're going to figure it out first. So let me read for you, and this is not how I would choose to describe the secretary problem, or the dowry problem, or the beauty contest problem, which is another way that it's been described in this lovely summary and introduction section of this paper. So this is from 1966, and I think it sounds like it. So here we go. I'm just going to read. Okay, so beauty contest. Suppose a boy is to have a date with his choice of one of N unseen and unknown girls. And suppose he wishes to choose the prettiest. The girls are presented for him to see one at a time in a random order, and he must choose or reject a girl when she appears. everyone's like, really? This is, yeah. Once he chooses, he sees the rest, and he is disappointed if his date is not the prettiest. How can, I know. How can he maximize his probability of choosing the prettiest of the lot? So that's one way that they, and then we talk about, so that's the beauty contest, but there's also the dowry problem, which recasts this, where the numbers are representing dowries. And you can talk about it as the secretary problem. I'm not sure what the number there would represent. Maybe typing speed, or maybe beauty again. I don't know what these guys are looking for in a secretary. Okay, so, but this could mean, the numbers could mean anything, right? I mean, so our first thing that we're going to do today is figure out, let's update what we're talking about here. I don't want this to be about a beauty contest. And certainly not, I mean, I've never been in that situation where I'm going to be presented with N girls and choose the prettiest and just... So what do you think? What should we... Some suggestions for what we could be talking about here? What should the numbers represent? It's just so that we have something concrete to discuss. How delicious the cake is. So we're going to be presented with N cakes. And we're going to choose which one is, and I like that because numbers can be arbitrarily big, and cake, as we all know, can be just like, I mean, there's no limit to how delicious cake can be. Right? It's cake. Good. Okay. So cake. We've got one option. Other options. Somewhere in the back.
The Price is Right, but indoors.
It's like the Price is Right. Oh, okay. Okay. So how does, remind me now?
He like shows you one possible fries. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it is. It's a lot like The Price is Right. Yeah. It's. I mean. It's very sort of game show esque. It could be. I mean. I think that the idea of describing it in terms of choosing. So have you guys ever heard someone say, just sort of rank someone that they went out on a date with and be like, oh yeah, person was like that was a like that person over there, he or she. There are 10, you know, just like perfect, right? This is something that people do. It's not so far. Maybe I wouldn't have written it in quite this way, but you know, we've all heard someone say, yeah, that's that person's, yeah, five or something like that. Or maybe it's just the circles I hang out in. I don't know. You guys are all like... So another thing that you could be thinking about is say, like, say you were going to join an online dating site and you were going to just sort of try and select the correct person to propose to, right? After you're going to be going to go on N first dates, and then after that you're just going to say, that's the one. That's the one. I'm gonna do that. So this is applicable to a lot of important life scenarios, right? Romance. Being on a game show happens all the time. Cake. I mean, I'm kind of leaning towards cake. Let's go with cake. Okay, so we're trying to choose the most delicious cake. Or whatever scenario you have in your head that you didn't really want to shout out, oh yeah, it's this thing or it's that thing. Whatever scenario you want it to be, that's fine. Think of that. So this is a really important applicable problem right there. This is important. Real life stuff. Yeah? Okay. So what is the optimal strategy to follow when you're playing this game? What should one do when one is presented with N choices? What do you think? I mean, take 1 minute. You have 1 minute to discuss with someone nearby what you think the best strategy is. Come up with any strategy at all, and then say, and then if once you've come up with a strategy, then say, okay, and maybe I can even do better and come up with something a little bit better than that. So go ahead, 1 minute, 1 minute right now, and I'm going to write my numbers. Okay, so figure it out.
Yeah, my mom comes up
Did you figure it out, Kyle? What's he? Where's he going? So what is it, Kenan? Don't pick the first one. Okay, I like that. Yeah. I mean, I think an even more naive strategy is pick the first one. Right, okay. That's like, I'm going for it. Okay, did you guys figure it out? How'd it go? What's the first strategy that came to mind?
Pick the chocolate one.
Pick the chocolate one. Yeah, that's actually the conclusion. How did you know? That's exactly. Well, okay, yeah. Okay. Other strategies. Strategies for just for the numbers. What would? Well, yeah, yeah.
So look at like say the first half, and then pick the first one that's bigger than you've seen so far. Depending on it being bigger, although half might not be the best call up, it might be the best distribution. That's like a rough
idea. Nice. Yeah, I like that. I like that. So wait for a little while, and then take the next. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, Maggie.
If you have any number, if you're just as many numbers less than that number, then there are more.
So yep.
For any one card, there's a 50% chance that it's something greater or it's something less.
Right.
So if you have more than one card, then it's worth your while to take another one, because there's more than 50% chance that one of those has a greater number.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's just one card, it doesn't matter. So you might as well just go to the end.
Ah, so maybe take the last one. Ah, okay. Another strategy that I will mention is take the first one. Maybe you should just go for it, you know? At least you don't waste your time, right? Forget those other cakes. This one's, like, right in front of you. Let's just shovel it all on, and I'm just going to go nuts with this one cake. Yeah. Maybe it's chocolate. What's that?
It depends on how good it is.
It depends on how... Yeah, I mean, yeah, so... Okay, so a couple of strategies. Kenan mentioned not taking the first one.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the opposite.
Yeah, it's the opposite. Yeah, yeah. Thanks a lot, Kenan. That's the opposite of what I'm looking for. Okay, so let's see here. If you take the first one, what are the odds of winning the game?
One out of N.
That's right, yeah. So here it would have been 1 out of 4, right? It's either the best one or it's not. You don't know anything else. 1 out of 4. So we should be able to do at least that well. Right. I hope we can do at least that well. I mean, we already did. So we've bounded how poorly we can do. But this doesn't really scale, right? I mean, when N gets big, that strategy becomes kind of not a great strategy, right? It's like, well, one over n gets really small when n gets big. Right? You may have heard. When n gets really big, 1 over n gets really small. Yeah, it's true. So, okay. I like this idea of the winning strategy being wait for a while and then take the next thing that could be a winner. That could be a winner. Do you guys believe that that is what the winning strategy looks like anyway? Maybe we step away from the fact that maybe it's not wait for a half and then take the next thing. But it turns out that is the form of the winning strategy. That's what we should be looking for, and what we should be trying to figure out is how long one should wait. How many cakes you try before you just say, that's the one for me, and pile it all on, or how many dates you go on before you say, yeah, I'm just going to stick with this person and go steady or whatever. Does anyone say that anymore, go steady? So, no. So, okay. I'm going to throw up a couple definitions here on the board, and we'll see how you guys like. Here's some chalk. All right. Definition. Strategy S. Strategy S. This is what we're defining. We're defining strategy S means pass on the first S minus 1 values. On the first minus 1, S minus 1 values, then take the next. The word I'm going to use for the next possible winner is candidate. The next candidate, yeah? We don't know that it's a winner, but it's bigger than everything that we've seen, so we've got a shot, right? Take the next candidate. Where a candidate is an observation that is the largest so far. A candidate is an observation that is the largest so far. Reasonable definitions. A candidate. So there was that moment when Nick was. We had already seen 13, right? And we came to 7, and I asked you if you wanted to take it, and you looked at me like I was crazy, and said, "No. I mean, we've already seen 13. There's no way I'm taking it." So 7 was not a candidate, right? The first draw is always a candidate, because you haven't seen anything yet. Maybe there are more delicious cakes out there, maybe not, but this one's pretty good. Except those with all the frosting. You know the. Oh man. Ugh. I think. Okay. So, what's the probability of winning with strategy S? So, what is the probability of a win with strategy S? Well, it's the sum of the probabilities. The sum from K equals S all the way up to N of the probability of win at K. Not a particularly deep thought so far, right? The probability of winning with strategy S is just the probability of winning at S, or maybe at S plus 1, or maybe you won at S plus 2, or possibly with S plus 3, right? Maybe I can illuminate this by drawing some things up here next to these numbers. So, I have written down, I'm going to put a little 2 with a circle around it, where strategy 2 works, wins. Yeah? And I'm getting ahead of myself, sorry. These numbers mean something, and then I'll tell you why I'm writing the 2s next to it. So we had 4 numbers, and rather than caring about exactly what their values were, I'm just going to say, well, they could have come ranked in this order, that order. These are the possible orders that these numbers could have come in, right? So it could have been smallest, next biggest, and then finally the largest, right? And it could have been largest, smallest, smaller, 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 smallest. So let's see exactly how these different strategies go here. So strategy 2 wins here. Have I written? Oh, I've written twos and ones, and I should have written fours. Ah, interesting. Okay, so check me on this. I'm adding one, and that's all the processing power I have here. So okay, I claim three works here, here, and here, and two works here and here. Two and three were here. Here's three, three, two, two, and then two wins actually a lot in this row. Two, two, and here come the threes. Right. So I think that's correct. So what I'm claiming here, so first of all, strategy one is just a fancy pants way of saying take the first thing, just go for it, right? And strategy one wins here, right? When the first thing that comes up actually is the biggest. Strategy four wins, here and here and here and here and in two other places, right? Six total, six out of 24. You win one out of four times, six out of 24 times. Strategy two wins, what is this? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11. 11 times out of 24. Better than one out of N. Better than six out of 24. And strategy three wins 10 times out of 24. So we're doing better by sort of grabbing some, by choosing somewhere in the middle, this strategy that's sort of somewhere around maybe half of, half of N is exactly right. I mean, but certainly we can do better. We can see that in the case of N equals 4, we can do significantly better than just 6 out of 24. Yeah? So there are better strategies out there. There's hope. I wouldn't give you guys a talk where I ended by saying, yeah, we can't do any better. That what a downer. No, none of that. Okay, so let's see. So the probability of winning with a strategy S is the sum of all the probabilities of winning at each particular draw. So let's unpack that a little bit. Up we go. Right. So that's the probability where the probability of win at K is the probability that K is actually the max times probability that we choose K, right? We have to actually choose it, and it actually has to be the max. There's a chance that we actually choose not the max, it turns out. It's kind of sad. Okay, so this equals, right, probability of winning at K equals the sum, sorry, where's the original? Right, what am I trying to say here? So this probability of winning at K equals, and this is where I wanted to draw the arrow, equals, and we're going to draw this sum, K equals S to N, but now we're going to start making things more symbolic and actually figure out what the heck is going on here. It's the sum from K equals S to N of 1 over N times S minus 1 over K minus 1. Let's talk about that for a second. Why 1 over N? Well, that's the probability that K is the max. It's a random distribution, so maybe K is the max, maybe it's not. That even chances. And it's S minus 1 over K minus 1 because K minus 1 are the odds of having seen the max at step K. That's 1 out of K minus 1. So maybe you saw it in those first K minus 1 draws, and then you get to the kth one, and you have seen it. Well, there are K minus 1 things to choose from. Or K minus 1 ways that that could happen. Right? There are K minus 1 slots that max could have been in up to the point K. And we're going to do that S minus 1 times. Yeah, because there are all of these coming forward, places where we're going to choose. So it turns out that that is the probability of winning with strategy S. Yeah.
How do
So the probability that you have passed the max is... So... Let me see how to answer that. It is taken into account in this formula, and here's why. Each of the from 1 up to n, the odds of that thing being the max is 1 out of n. Yeah. And so if you start at s, then you've already discounted the first those first s minus 1 things. So the fact that we're not counting those odds, the odds of winning with strategy S doesn't add any chances for you winning on those first S minus 1 draws. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why that's why we're starting at S. That's a good question. That's why we're starting at S. Yeah? Okay. You can taste the cake already. We're getting closer to our optimum strategy. Okay. So this equals, I'm going to write it as S minus 1 over N times, and I'm going to do a little re-indexing, which everyone always hates it when you re-index the sums, but it's nicer this way. K equals S minus 1 to N minus 1, 1 over K. So I pulled the S minus 1 over N out because the sum actually isn't being affected by that at all. And I re-indexed a little bit over here. Okay. And we're going to call that, just in case we need a quick way to write that, the probability of winning with strategy S when you're picking from N things, probability S, N. Any questions so far about what's going on here? We're trying to figure out how to find this probability, right? How do we find the maximum? A raucous crowd. Wow, you guys really... Hoo-wee. Not all at once now. All right. Well, I'll keep talking, and if you guys decide that you want to, you know, make a peep, that's fine. All right. So, I'm going to ask you guys to take on faith that the probability of winning increases. So, here's probability of winning with strategy S for N. And here's, and this is the s-axis, this probability goes up and then goes back down. The strategies get better for a while and then they get worse. It's believable. I don't think that it's worth our time to justify it right now, but it's believable. Certainly it happened in the case of n equals 4, right? We had 1 over n, 6 out of 24, and then things got better, and then they got worse again. Okay. So, well, let's start writing down a whole bunch of sums. The probability, so we want, so this, I'm going to take this as a statement. It goes up and then it goes down, comma. So we want 0 to be less than S minus 1 over N times the sum K equals S minus 1 to N minus 1, 1 over K. I'll try and keep this legible. Minus S over N, yeah, the sum from K equals S to N minus 1, 1 over K. So we want that to be true. Because, and all I'm saying here is that we want the probability of S, N to be greater than the probability of S plus 1, N. We want the first S such that this is true. That's what we want. We want the first S. We're going to find it. It's the first S. It's the S plus 1 is better than S. S plus 1 is better than S. It's better, it's better, it's better. We turn the corner. Now S is better than S plus 1. Take that S. Don't keep going because things are only getting worse from there. Yeah? So, all right. Did I write greater than? I probably meant less than. Yeah.
Because you want when it's
No, no, no. I want S to be greater than S plus one. Yeah, yeah. Almost got me though. That was very tricky. All right. Do keep trying to check me on those things too. By the way, it's really easy to make a little slip up with a summation or 10 or 20. So, yeah. All right. We want this to be true. We want this to be true. All right. So let's explore that. This thing on the right equals, and now I'm just going to start expanding stuff. Thankfully, I have some room here. Okay. So this equals S over N times that first sum, K equals S minus 1 to N minus 1, 1 over K. But then we're going to start messing around with stuff. Minus 1 over N. Oh, we're already unpacking things. See, this is S times that minus 1 times that. So it's already happening. Minus 1 over N times that same sum. K equals S minus 1 to N minus 1, 1 over K. So that's that first bit. Minus, and I'm going to leave the second sum alone. S over N times the sum. K equals S to N minus 1, 1 over K. So far, so good. I'm going to try and make the algebra palatable, so tell me if you get lost. I'm really okay with saying, because maybe I just messed up. This equals S over N times 1 over S minus 1 plus S over N times the sum from K equals S to N. Minus 1, right? Let me double check. S over N times 1 over S minus 1 plus that
just pulled out 1 over S
minus 1. Yeah, I know, and I just have this thing written down that's... Well, let's see if we can figure it out. Minus 1 over N times 1 over S minus 1. I'm pulling that out of here. Minus 1 over N times the sum K equals S to N minus 1, 1 over K minus S over N times the sum from K equals S to N of 1 over K. Does that look right? This is minus 1 and this is minus 1. Is that what I messed up? Okay, cool. Ta-da! And so now I can go like this and like this. I actually heard someone say it doesn't matter because they're going to cancel. So, yeah, very good. Yeah. And this equals... let's see. This is S over N times... Well, let's see. Let's see if we can skip ahead a little bit. So this is 1 over... This is S minus 1 over N times S minus 1 minus 1 over N times the sum from K equals S to N minus 1 of 1 over K. Yeah? I'm trusting you here. Okay, so this equals 1 over N times 1 minus the sum from K equals S to N minus 1, 1 over K. So we want 0, if you remember way back when, we wanted 0 to be less than that, yeah? It's a dangerous thing talking about a bunch of summations. You guys are way closer to calc than I am, so you guys are the masters here. Ah, these sums. All right. So we want that, which means we want the sum k equals s to N minus 1 of 1 over K to be less than 1. That's what we want. 1 over N is positive, so don't worry about that guy. Yeah? It looks weird if you cancel this and this. It's just very confusing. But the 1 over n is positive, yeah? You guys see what I'm doing here? Okay, cool. But wait, there are more sums. Yes. Okay. So, the optimal strategy, which I'm going to call S star, is the first S where that happens. And it turns out that call the optimal strategy S star. We're going to call it S star. Since that's the first one, since that's the first S where this happens, we actually have another handy inequality, which is that, let's see, since S star is first, oh, this is really, so we're 35 minutes. You guys can hear me in the back, right? Yeah, I should have checked that a little while ago. And you can read this and everything, is that, okay, good. Details. Since S star is first, since it's first, we also have that 1 is less than the sum from k equals S star minus 1 to n minus 1 of 1 over k. So it looks like that strategy, except we're summing from S star minus 1. S is the first one where this happened, yeah? So, I guess, to summarize, we have this. K equals S star to N minus 1, 1 over K. Is that what I had over there? I think that's what I had over there. Yeah? This is how you find the optimum strategy. I mean, it would be pretty easy to write a computer program that could just add up a whole bunch of probabilities and find the first one where, when you add that extra, that one extra probability, it sort of pushes you over 1. This extra probability being we're lowering, right? So this is how you find it. But maybe there's more to say about what exactly we're talking about here, because it's not entirely satisfactory. I mean, okay, so the optimum strategy is to do this. The optimum strategy when you're, I mean, if you were going to implement this, I don't know, it takes a little while to write. I'm not a very fast programmer. If I were trying to implement this, the best that I could do is say, never tell the person that you met on OkCupid that you selected them using a strategy that you found in Math Club, right? Don't do that. So, let's see. Here's what I claim. Time for a cool claim. Claim. As n gets big, as n goes to infinity, S star approaches n over e. So you should wait. I know, everyone's like, whoa, where did that come, right? It's cool. E, out of nowhere, e. S star approaches n over e. So what I'm claiming here is that you should wait for an eth of the candidates, an eth, one eth, and then choose the next one. An eth and then choose the next, an eth and then choose the next one. Not only that, but, and probability of winning with strategy S star N goes to an eth, one over E. This is way better than things were before, right? Our 1 over n strategy, that'll like take the first person and go, or take the first cake and just make a run for it, is not the winning strategy. It's not the winning strategy. As the amount of cake that you have goes to infinity, happens all the time, you find out that that strategy is a loser, and this is the way that you should go. Yeah? Okay. So, let's see. Here is a fact. I'm going to tell you now a fact. Fact. This sum from k equals 1 to n of 1 over k, this can be approximated. K can be approximated. Can be approximated by log base e of n plus this number, which I'm going to write as c. Well, so this is a crazy fact that this is true. This c is a really, really neat, magical little number. It's called Euler's constant. I'm not going to get into it. Not e. It's not e. It's not that Euler's constant, but Euler has multiple constants named. Yeah. We'll call it Lenny's constant to differentiate from E. So this is Lenny's constant, and it's like 0.577 or so. But you could spend the rest of your life studying that number. You could spend the rest of your life. I'm not kidding. People don't even know whether it's irrational or not. People don't know. Apparently, if it's rational, then the denominator has like many, many, many. it's huge. In other words, it's sort of a really weird rational number, but people don't even know if it's rational or irrational. So it's a strange number. So I'm just quoting as a fact. This sum can be approximated by that plus this little tiny constant. Yeah? All right. So now we're going to get back to this, which is important. And when things are important on the board, you put them inside a box for some reason. Okay. So, so for large n, now we're dealing with large n, we have that the sum, so I'm going to rewrite that sum in a slightly different way. Sum from k equals 1 to n minus 1, 1 over k, minus the sum from k equals 1 to s star minus 1 of 1 over k is less than 1, is less than, and now I'm going to write some more sums. K equals 1 to n minus 1 minus k equals 1 to s star minus 2, 1 over k. All I did was just add too much stuff and then take off the stuff that I didn't want. Nothing fancy. All right, so for large n, well, for any n, this is true, but we're going to start letting our n get really large and see sort of asymptotically what happens, right? That's what we're curious about, is the asymptotic solution here. How does it act when n gets really big? All right, so pretend that n's really big. This is definitely true, and that means that I'm going to start writing log rather than log base e. Writing ln n is really annoying. I don't know, it's just hard to read. So I'm going to write log n, and you're going to understand that means log base e n. Yes, nod your head or something, yeah? Okay? Okay, good, there we go. So, log n, and of course, that's not even what it is. Log of n minus 1, right, plus, okay, c sub n minus 1, this is sort of the term that you would need to approximate n minus 1, these c sub whatevers are all going to get really close to this 0.577 business that I was talking about earlier. So we haven't actually let n go to infinity, so these are approximations of that thing. So that's c sub n minus 1 minus log of s star minus 1 minus c sub s star minus 1. That's less than 1, which is in turn less than log of n minus 1 plus c sub n minus 1 minus log of s star minus 2 minus c sub s star minus 2. All right, so we're getting there. Now, there are people in the room, I know, who walked in going, I really hope that today's talk hinges on properties of logarithms. No one wants to admit it, but I know you're out there. You're going, properties of logs, properties of... Today's your lucky day. We're going to use some properties. Hold on. Okay, so... Oh, that's a long... Right, so you have this, and therefore this, for large n. And therefore, we have log of n minus 1 over s star minus 1 plus c sub n minus 1 minus c sub s star minus 1 is less than 1 is less than, and now I'm going to do something a little strange, so just here are the properties of logs really coming to the fore. N minus 1 over s star minus 1 ma plus log of s star minus 1 over s star minus 2 plus c sub n minus 1 minus c sub s star minus 2. Whew, a lot of logarithm stuff. Pretty neat. Now I'm going to, I'll write this down. I'm going to add log of n minus 1 over s star minus 1 minus 1, add that thing, and multiply by negative 1. I'm doing a whole bunch of algebra here. I'm doing a whole bunch of algebra here, but I want us to be able to eat pizza when we want to eat pizza. So hold on. We're going to add that to this, this, and this, and I'm multiplying by negative 1, which really just has the effect of, well, we multiply these by negative 1, we switch the signs of our inequalities, switch the signs of our equalities. And then... And what we find is that 1 minus c sub n minus 1 plus c sub s star minus 1 is greater than now, because we switched the signs, is greater than log of n minus 1 over s star minus 1, which is in turn greater than 1 minus log of s star minus 1 over s star minus 2 minus a couple of the c's. C sub n minus 1 plus c sub s star minus 2. Okay. We're going to let n get really big. Ready? We're going to take the limit. We're going to do it. Okay. So when we take the limit, as n gets totally enormous, these c's, remember, they're approaching the same thing, right? So this is going to go to 0. Yeah? 1 minus the other. This is going to go to 0. Okay, things are getting simpler. This guy inside the parentheses here, this is going to 1. Because when n gets really big, the s stars get really big. They're somewhere in the middle of the n's, and so it's some ratio of n. And so that's going to 1, which means that this whole log of 1 is 0. Yeah, that's, I know. Learning lots of things today. Log of 1 is 0. so we take the limit, and we find that 1 is greater than or equal to the limit, oh boy, cursive, limit as n goes to infinity of the log of n minus 1 over s star minus 1 is greater than or equal to 1. Interesting. Yes. I heard that. Yes. That's it. I know. You say no, but it's true. Everyone with me? See where we are? We're getting so close, right? Look, already I can... It's within my wingspan, the thing that I'm writing down, where we must be getting close. Okay, so that means that this, well, okay, if 1's greater than or equal to it, and less than, and right, okay, so this thing equals 1. This thing equals 1. So, so the limit as n goes to infinity of n minus 1 over s star minus 1 is e. There's the e. There it is. You were wondering when that character would show up. There it is. That means that the limit as n goes to infinity of s star minus 1 over n minus 1 is 1 over e. There's the 1 over e. Oh, we're really getting in close now. And that means, well, okay, when n gets really big and s star gets really big, those negative ones, we all know they don't really matter, right? They're not going to affect what's going on here in the limit. So that means... That means that the limit as n goes to infinity of s star over n equals 1 over e. which is both of the things we were trying to show. Those are both of the things that we claimed. Because this thing on the left is an approximation, a really good one, a really good approximation, of our original probability for S star. Our original probability S star. This is a very close approximation of that. And as n gets big, the approximation gets really good. And, well, you can see that if this is true, then when n gets really big, S star over n has to get really close to 1 over e, which means S star is getting really close to n over e. So here is our asymptotic solution to the cake problem or the Dowry problem or whatever you want to call it. was there anything else I wanted to say? So, well, it's 10 till. I guess we're getting pretty close, huh? I guess in summary, there are lots of directions that you can go from here. This is getting us started on what's called an optimal stopping problem. There are a couple of other areas of little gems sort of slipped into this talk in amidst the capital sigmas, like this C. If you wanted, you really could spend the rest of your life studying this guy. No one's running to the door saying, I've got to go study it right now, but maybe you'll decide that you want to. I don't know. And questions of optimal stopping are really interesting. I mean, you can see that there are lots of ways to generalize, right? I mean, say, what if I get to choose more than once? What if I get to, generalize it any way you like, right? But I feel like it's a little weird to be giving a talk about optimal stopping and not stop on time, right? So on that note, I think I should probably stop now. But thanks for listening, guys.